Hey, Kevin.
Hey, what?
Did you hear that New York is prepared to declare a state of emergency over the nurse shortage?
I heard that.
Whose fault is that?
I don't know.
Hello, this is Karen.
And this is Kevin.
And this is Right From Us. So they're going to apparently bring in National Guard people and retired healthcare workers to come in and take care of the nurses.
Yeah.
The nurse shortage.
Basically, they said it doesn't matter the licensing. They're going to waive licensing and temporarily. That sounds like a good plan, doesn't it?
That is insane to me that they are having to do this over a problem they caused.
Yeah. It's just, you know, these Democrats.
New York Governor Kathy Hochul?
I don't know how to say that.
Hochul? A Democrat who assumed the job after Andrew Cuomo's resignation announced that she's prepared to declare a state of emergency if the state's vaccine mandate results in unmanageable shortage of healthcare workers.
So this article was from a few days ago, and the mandate actually took effect. Have they declared a state of emergency?
I don't know. And I'd like to know how many people actually ended up leaving.
I thought it was, wasn't it 70 or 80,000?
70,000 in the entire state of New York.
I heard 70,000, and I've also heard 85,000. I wonder how many it actually ended up being.
Declaring a state of emergency would allow the state to bring in healthcare workers from other states or countries, as well as those who've either recently graduated or previously worked in the industry, according to Hochul. The state is also planning to train National Guard personnel in order to deal with the expected staffing shortages. To me, that is the most crazy problem, a problem that you brought on yourself, and now you're having to come up with a creative solution and probably end up paying more money. Because do you know how much traveling nurses get paid?
It's $200 an hour.
Oh, Mike, $200 an hour.
Does the nurse actually get that? Or is that like the fee, like say like a temp agency fee?
I have no idea how that works.
I bet the nurse probably gets a good percentage of that.
But the bottom line is they've thrown away basically perfectly good nurses.
Yeah.
And they're going to end up paying more money for people that are not as experienced.
Yeah. I mean, these companies that are doing this are losing some of their best people.
Yeah. They're definitely cutting their
best
people
and their smartest people, the people that have actually researched this issue and, you know what it's all about.
And the thing is, these people are probably, they probably already had COVID. They probably have antibodies.
Right.
They're probably just fine.
And they probably got COVID while they were working the COVID ward, taking care of people during
before we even had a vaccine option.
Right. Right. At the first of the pandemic whenever nobody else would work in the.
Yeah. And dozens of Massachusetts police are resigning over the vax mandate as well, which I guess you're killing two birds with one stone in that situation.
Yeah, they want to get rid of the police anyway. So,
right?
Yeah, there you go.
So there you go. Two birds with one stone. I guess you better hope that the Massachusetts people don't need any police help. You're going to call 911. Who knows who's going to show up and how long it's going to take. Says the State Police Association of Massachusetts, it's called SPAM for short, the State Police Association of Massachusetts.
Oh, really?
That's awesome. Said dozens of troopers have submitted their resignation papers as a result of the state's COVID vaccine mandate. The state's requiring all executive department employees to show proof of vaccination by October 17th or risk losing their jobs. About 20% of state police employees are not vaccinated, according to the union's attorney.
You know, does that tell you something? 20%.
Well,
of
I think
the police, and then it's like 15% of the healthcare workers in New York.
I think that, if nothing else, is a huge message. Like, if you've got all these healthcare workers willing to risk their jobs, lose their jobs over taking this jab, I think that's pretty telling. I think that's pretty
sort of
telling.
Tells you something.
Yeah,
right there.
For sure. But as a result of this, so what's going to happen? These healthcare workers are going to not have a job anymore. So in order to pay the bills, you think we're going to have more pop-up, like, independent doctors opening up their own practices?
I've heard that's what's going to happen, or what is happening. That there's more of these, like, nurse practitioners, that are going into business for themselves. You know, they have a little office or a little clinic where they don't accept insurance.
Right.
You know, it's just,
right.
just self-pay.
Just everything is cash, yeah. which, I mean, it's probably a good idea.
If you can get the insurance companies out of the mix.
Yes. Yes. And just pay cash for everything. It'll be a lot cheaper in the long run.
A lot more efficient.
Way more efficient. Probably better care, to be honest.
But, you know, it's going to be limited what they could do, obviously. They wouldn't be able to do surgeries, I would think. Would they? I don't know.
I don't know. I don't know how that would work, honestly. I'm not sure. Like, our doctors don't. They're not actual hospital employees. They are independents. So I don't know how that would work if you, I guess you'd have to have some kind of contract with the hospital that you want to do surgery in. But
how would that work? I don't know.
I don't know either.
Yeah, there's a lot of industries that are going to be hurting. The trucking industry also is losing a lot of people. You know, truckers don't want to get, mm-hmm. if they work for a company that it's mandating it. You know, and there's already shortages,
yep.
shipping shortages, and they've got this. I think we talked about it last week or the week before. Out at the port of Long Beach, there's like 100 shipping container boats sitting there, and they have like a 4-week wait time to get unloaded.
Oh, wow.
Because there's not enough people working at the shipping yards.
So that is definitely going to translate into shortages and people probably panicking because they see empty shelves, and it's just kind of a human reaction to kind of panic whenever you don't see the products on the shelves, right? So is that going to lead to hoarding and tape and toilet paper shortage again? I hope not.
You know, surely not. I went to a garage sale this weekend, or actually yesterday. And this lady had like a whole wall of toilet paper.
Are you serious?
Yes.
Wow.
She was ready to go.
Well, I mean, it is smart to stock up for sure.
Yeah, and we kind of laughed about it. She said, yeah, we have three basically senior citizens living in our household. We don't want to take the chance, you know.
Yeah.
We don't get out much. Yeah. So she just.
I mean, so you can't fault her for looking ahead and planning. So.
No.
But it is kind of funny.
But the people that bought a truckload.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
oh, yeah.
When everybody else was trying to get it.
But that's the thing.
Irritating.
I mean, you know, it's great to plan ahead, but just buy what you need. Please don't hoard it and then not leave anything for anybody else. That's kind of selfish. Don't do that, please. Let's see.
What could be worse than toilet paper shortage? I mean, like food, you know, that one time we went to the neighborhood market. It was right like in March or like. March 20th or something like that, and it's like, why is it so busy? Do you remember that? We saw that coworker, the former coworker of mine, and it's like, why is the store so crowded?
When was this?
Like March of 2020.
Oh, yeah. That was kind of the beginning of the whole thing.
Yeah, the beginning of the whole thing, and if the food shelves were empty, I could see people panicking big time.
Well, I mean, remember the soup aisle? I mean, you couldn't find any soup whatsoever.
Soup and macaroni and cheese
and frozen
pizzas and things like that.
Yeah, yeah, completely out. And for some reason, I don't know why, frozen fruit. You couldn't find frozen fruit anywhere.
I mean, that's just now coming back.
I know, isn't that strange?
Yeah, that is weird.
Which is weird because, I mean, and the only reason I know that is because I make these fruit smoothies once in a while and with strawberries and pineapples, and you couldn't find any of that on the shelves at all, which was weird, but I don't know. In some ways, I don't know. I don't want to wish a food shortage on us, but in some ways, would it really be that bad? I mean, you'd have to be, I don't know. I just think all have a little
I think it would be a
little extra tire that we can
don't
take from.
Yeah. No, most people don't have more than a couple of days of food in their pantry, you know, if that.
Yeah.
And they're, you know, say if the supermarket was out of food and you went to restaurants and the restaurants were closed, you know, you could see people really getting
panicky.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
And getting desperate.
But these cargo boats, I mean, there's nobody to unload them. So they're going to be out there a while. I'm assuming they triage these cargo ships for food. Surely they try to unload the food perishable items first, maybe?
I don't think there would be food on those. I mean,
would there not be?
There definitely wouldn't be perishable things, but maybe like
oh, I have no idea.
I don't know. Would there be?
Shows you how much I know.
I don't think there'd be
like
anything.
Like bananas and stuff?
No, not on a cargo ship, I wouldn't think.
Oh, I don't know.
I don't know for sure, though. But, you know, I could be wrong about that because I did remember a story from a few years ago where bananas are actually radioactive. And they've got these radioactivity monitors at these cargo ship docks. And the bananas were setting off the the radiation monitors. Yeah.
I don't know.
I could be wrong about that.
Bananas were radioactive.
Yeah, it's the most really? Radioactive food you can eat.
Huh. I had no idea.
It's just a small amount. You know, it's like 100 times less than a dental X-ray or something like that. But still, it's got just a certain amount of radioactivity because of the potassium in the
gotcha.
Fruit. So anyway.
Huh. Interesting.
So I don't know. They probably have a way of prioritizing food.
Like triaging.
Yeah.
I guess. I mean, yeah. I would assume so. But yeah. By the way, for those of you watching the podcast, I have a microphone at a little different angle. We're trying something new. It's one of these clamp-on microphone stands, and it's at a weird angle, and I feel awkward. So
she's gonna get a crick in her neck.
I know. So
well,
if I'm
down in front of you,
if I look kind of weird or I keep adjusting this, it's because I haven't found that sweet spot where, and also where I can see the laptop. But anyway, okay so let's see, what else do we talk about?
They had the $3.5 trillion massive spending plan that, you know, they're still debating it didn't go through. It didn't get passed yesterday.
Much to Nancy Pelosi's chagrin.
Yeah.
She was very annoyed by that, by the way, which was awesome.
Biden out there saying, well, it's not going to cost anything. It's the cost of it is zero. $3.5 trillion, it's not going to cost anything? Oh, yeah, there's all that savings in there. They're saying it's going to save more than you spend.
I don't know how in the world they can say any of this stuff with a straight
face.
These
Democrats, I don't think they understand like basic economics. There was this guy, his name is Greg Yarmuth. I'm not sure where he's from. He's a congressman. He's out there saying it's just like Monopoly money. We don't have to pay it back.
So if it's not going to cost,
what are you talking about?
If it's not going to cost the taxpayers any money, then where are they expecting to get that?
They're printing money.
So they just print money, and
don't they
no
realize that the more money you have in the economy, the higher prices are going to be? It's like, that's inflation. That's what causes inflation. You know, just basic stuff. And this guy's out there saying, well, it's just like when we, you know, we're the bank. We can print as much money as we want.
Well, did you hear about the controller of the economy? Did you read this in the Wall Street Journal?
No.
Well, I couldn't read all of it because I'm not a member of the Wall Street Journal, so it only gives you like a paragraph.
I hate that.
I do too. But I get it. I mean, it's a business. But basically, this new woman that Biden has, President Biden checked off another progressive identity box last week by nominating Saul Amarova as a controller of the currency. Some Trump appointees were ridiculed for having supported the elimination of their agencies. Ms. Amarova wants to eliminate the banks she's been appointed to regulate. So basically, she's a huge socialist. She thinks Russia has the right idea as far as handling all the money. Money does not need to go to the individuals. It needs to be dished out and doled out as seen fit by the government. And this is the controller of the economy.
Well, he's appointed. She's a nominee. She hasn't gotten...
Oh, she hasn't actually got
yet,
the...
Yeah, she's a nominee, okay. But... And that's just basically how these guys think. And, you know, a lot of banking regulations, the reason they have these regulations in place is because they benefit the big banks and they hurt the smaller banks. You know, the big banks, you know, these regulations don't really affect them that much. They have all the people and, you know, everybody to take care of things like that. Whereas small banks, like small town, regional banks, they don't have the ability to take, you know, to manage these regulations. Like this thing that they're talking about, the banks reporting every transaction over $600.
Yeah.
You know, things like that are designed to hurt small banks. And it goes along exactly with what this lady is talking about. You know, they just want a few big banks that they can control, basically, and get rid of all these smaller banks.
And that's just so that they can have more control over the people.
Yeah, for sure.
Basically what you can and can't spend money on, and or this is how much you have for this month. You better make it last, I guess.
And it's also designed so they can track things like Bitcoin. It's also kind of aimed at being able to monitor Bitcoin and, you know, cyber currencies and things like that too. So
I see.
Anyway,
well, when it comes to the economic stuff, I'm not even going to pretend I know what I'm talking about. I know the basics. I mean, the basics, like supply and demand. That's about the extent of it for me. I don't really know a whole lot more. So I'm going to leave the money talk stuff to him. He knows a lot more than I do on that. But I was just surprised to see. I shouldn't have been surprised, I guess. But, you know, here again, they are just trying so hard to fundamentally transform this country into something that it's not. And, you know, by gosh, they're doing a pretty good job of it so far. That's for sure. And I just pray everybody get out there and vote in 2022 and let's flip the House and Senate so we can get some Republicans in there and take some control away from the Democrats.
Not just Republicans, you know. I mean, there's Republicans and then there's people that are conservatives and also follow the Constitution. You know, we got a lot of Republicans. One of the reasons we're in the position we are now is because we've got Republicans up there that just are just letting things happen.
Yeah, but none of the Republicans voted for this $3.5 trillion.
Right. But if, you know, if this was the Democrats and we were in the majority, they would be just like tying themselves to their chairs and,
yeah, that's,
you know,
true,
standing on top of the tables. And
that is definitely one thing I can
chandeliers.
Say for the Democrats is they stick together like glue. That's for sure.
Yeah.
That's one good thing about them.
Not
for
to say
sure.
We need to go crazy like they do, but it just seems like there could be a little bit more. It's almost like right now with this thing with the $3.5 trillion thing, the $3.5 trillion bill, they're just thinking, ha ha ha, well, this is going to backfire on the Democrats and we'll win back in the House in 2022, you know, sort of looking at it that way, I think.
Yeah.
Instead of really fighting and getting in front of the cameras and explaining why this is a bad idea. They had one of the things in there was to fine companies $700,000 for every violation of this new OSHA regulation about the vaccine mandates.
Oh, yeah.
$700,000, that basically would put every company out of business.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Which I guess that's really the goal, isn't it, in some ways?
Yeah.
Which I mean, I don't understand.
Definitely another, like small companies, get rid of the small companies, then you got a few big companies that you can control.
Yeah, but I guess I don't understand. To me, going that route cuts your nose off to spite your face, because if they're relying on money from taxpayers and the majority of people are without a job, then aren't they're like squeezing off the water hose, you know, when it comes to money, right? I've never understood that rationale.
Yeah, I know. But, I mean, they think they just print the money, so what difference does it make?
That is so bizarre to me that we come at this problem so, like, differently. We're just on opposites. It's opposite ends of the spectrum on that. I just don't understand that, but anyway. And then speaking in front of people, this Rand Paul confronts HHS secretary about natural immunity. Back to COVID, because I'm COVID obsessed.
That was great.
It was awesome.
I'll put a link to this.
Yes, it was awesome.
It was pretty great. Rand Paul is one of the few people sticking up for things.
Yeah, he's got the courage to do it, for sure.
Exposing these people.
Mm-hmm. Another article from WND, it says, bloodbath, Rand Paul confronts HHS secretary about natural immunity. Health and Human Services Secretary Xavier Becerra?
Becerra.
It's not a doctor. He's not a scientist. He's a lawyer. And as a well-spoken bureaucrat in the Biden-Harris regime, he is traveling the country calling anyone who is vaccine skeptic a flat earther. Senator Rand Paul, who happens to be a doctor, took exception to Becerra's characterization of people who want to invoke their natural immunity and God-given rights to medical freedom. During Senate hearings today, the senator asked the bureaucrat if he had heard of the study out of Israel demonstrating that those with natural immunity are 7 times less likely to get infected by COVID-19 than those who have been vaccinated. Oh, surprisingly, Becerra said he was not familiar with the study. That means one of two things. Either he's an absolute idiot who does not take his job as head of health and human services seriously, or he's a bald-faced liar who willfully denies the science in order to push the authoritarian agenda sent down to him by Joe Biden's handlers.
Yeah, Rand Paul was just going, are you a doctor?
No.
Are you a medical doctor?
No.
Are you a scientist? No.
No.
You're an attorney?
Right.
You know, so what, I mean, why is the guy even qualified to be the director of health and human services in the, to begin with?
Exactly. And my thing is, I just wish they would start asking this question when they grill people like this. Like, okay, you're saying you're following the science. Show me the science.
Yeah.
What studies are you reading?
Yeah.
What studies are you referencing?
Yeah.
I want to see the proof behind the pudding.
Yeah.
Just like the studies that I'm referring to, here you go. Here's what I'm looking at. You know
yeah.
what I'm saying? Let's start, like, because I'm so tired of this. Follow the science. Where's the science, folks?
Yeah.
Show me what science
yeah,
you're referencing.
It. Yeah.
Seriously, what are you referencing? Where's the proof? What is your source? I wish they would start asking that question instead of just spewing a talking point.
They're following the science that's presented on CNN.
See? Exactly.
I heard it on CNN.
And that's
actually
exactly
also,
what I want them to say. Well, CNN,
you know,
reported on it.
In their defense.
That's not the science.
Yeah. Well, in their defense, they're probably going by what the CDC is saying and the FDA, which, you know, they're just corrupt political.
Okay. Where is the CDC getting this information? Do they post their sources on where they're getting this information?
Well, here's an example. They had a panel. They had a panel of scientists recommend that they not approve the booster shot last week or week before last, and they went ahead and approved it anyway.
Well, so it wasn't even they. It was Walensky.
Right.
She's the one that she overruled them all
so,
and said, I don't care what y'all say, we're going to do it anyway.
Y'all. She said that?
She said y'all.
Yeah. See, the CDC is not even following their own scientists. It's not science. It's not about science. It's just politics.
It's not even politics. It's about control. It's about control and greed because it's all about the money.
And speaking of the booster shot, did you see the fake set that Biden had where he had his booster shot? Did you see that?
Okay, I did, but where are you going with that? Are you saying that he didn't really get the booster? Because
no,
there's
I'm
some
not
people
saying, I'm
actually
not saying that.
Who said that? Joe
Rogan? I wouldn't doubt that, but
I think Joe Rogan
just,
said he didn't
just,
actually get it.
Commenting on the fact that they made it look like he was taking it in the White House, but in the wide angle shot show, it was just like a fake set.
Yeah, but that doesn't really surprise me. I would think that happens all the time.
Well, they actually had this set prepared a few weeks ago for some other thing.
Yeah,
and they decided to use it again. But
to me, that makes sense.
I just thought it was just kind of interesting that they're just it's all just like theater for them. You know,
it's definitely a theater show.
Yeah.
Yes, for sure. It's all about just. Well, show. Dr. Fauci, this is on Newsmax.com. Vax the unvaccinated to avoid a dark, bad winter. Appearing on CBS journalist Major Garrett's The Takeout, Dr. Anthony Fauci said, if the unvaccinated are not vaccinated, then we could be in for a dark, bad winter. You know, if we don't get people vaccinated who need to be vaccinated, Fauci says, and we get that conflating with an influenza season, we could have a dark, bad winter. Now, wait a minute. I thought we got rid of the flu. We didn't have any flu last year.
There was no flu last year,
so you're
what's
saying
he talking about?
It's still around? Because I just assumed it's been eradicated since there was no flu cases last year.
Flu's been wiped out. What's he talking about?
I don't know. After mentioning an unspecified grant used to fund investigatory research at the Wuhan Lab of Virology, Fauci says that the viruses that were worked with in that environment, in that particular context of that grant, could not possibly molecularly have evolved into what we now know as SARS-CoV-2. Fauci.
What? So he's
still on this, which I think it's been proven.
He's still disputing the lab leak theory.
So
apparently.
Basically, didn't he lie under oath?
He's just covering his butt some more. He should be in jail.
Yes, he should be. Fauci, who did not mention gain-of-function research, says that when you look at how you can go from one virus and do something with it to get to be another, The viruses that the grant allowed the investigators to work with molecularly were so different than what ultimately came out to be SARS-CoV-2 that anyone who looks at those two viruses who knows anything about evolutionary virology will tell you that they're so far apart that you couldn't possibly merge into that particular virus. I like how he's trying to talk above people on this stuff. Like, you all are stupid.
Well,
I'm the scientist.
Just use a bunch
but
of
But he doesn't really say anything.
He's just using a bunch of scientific terms just to make himself.
Well, I don't think he's even using scientific
make
terms.
People think that
I think he's just
talking
in circles.
I just go back to what Carrie Mullis, the inventor of the PCR test, Nobel Prize winner, said about Dr. Fauci, that he doesn't know anything about anything. He's just a bureaucrat.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's like saying, you know, it's just a coincidence that this virus originated from Wuhan, China. You know, we have a laboratory there, but it's just a coincidence that it just came from, bats that were just around. It's just a coincidence.
Oh, wow. Who said this? Redfield? CDC Director Robert Redfield. He thinks COVID-19 leaked from a lab.
Former.
But in a report from The Hill, according to virologist and former CDC Director Robert Redfield, he thinks COVID-19 leaked from a lab. And then he goes on to say, but in light of a dark, bad winter, according to virology scientist Garrett Vanden Bosch evolutionary model, conducting mass vaccinations of SARS-CoV-2 is counterproductive and promotes the virus's evolution. Conducting mass vaccination campaigns on a background of high infection rates generates optimal conditions for breeding even more infectious SARS-CoV-2 variants. The combination of massive spike-directed immune pressure combined with high infectious pressure rapidly allows these variants to reproduce more effectively, such as to outcompete previously circulating variants and strains. Mass vaccination therefore promotes viral evolution towards more infectious variants. And I've been saying that from day one. I just think there's a strong correlation between the Delta variant getting out of control and the more people that were vaccinated. I just think there's a strong correlation.
Well, for sure.
Makes sense.
Ron Johnson was in Congress. Is it Congress or Senator? I can't remember if he's a Senator or Congressman. But he was showing a graph showing exactly that once the vaccinations were taking off, that's when the Delta variant followed the vaccinations.
Which makes sense because people that are fully vaccinated would come down with COVID.
Yeah.
So it's just not effective. It might lessen the symptoms if someone gets COVID-19, but it definitely doesn't prevent you from getting the disease.
Supposedly. So did you see the Project Veritas videos of the Johnson & Johnson employees?
No, I did not. I heard about it.
Project Veritas, what's the guy's name? James O'Keefe, who's awesome.
They have a bunch of whistleblowers.
Yeah, they have hidden cameras and they get these, like, it was a scientist and then some other executive from Johnson & Johnson that had an undercover camera. And the guy, one of the scientists, was saying, I would never get this vaccine. You know, I would get the Moderna one.
Oh, really?
Yes.
But I mean, I don't know. Do you think any one vaccine's better than the other? At this point in time, I think they're all three flawed. I mean, this is my opinion. Obviously, I'm not a medical professional. You do what you need to do and speak to your doctor.
If you had to get it, is that what you're saying?
If you had to get the vaccine,
which one would you choose? I don't know. Those guys on Dark Horse talked about that one time. We should check that out.
What'd they say?
I didn't know? I didn't watch it because I wasn't interested in getting the vaccine, so I didn't watch it. But they were talking about that. Which one would you get if you had to? I mean, the Johnson & Johnson one is the one that's had
the one and done?
Yeah, the most problems with blood clots, I think.
Yeah, I think it has, actually, but I'm not sure on that. Don't quote me.
And I think it's apparently a little bit different technology. It's not the mRNA. It's something different.
Yeah, I don't know. you know, the argument that people use, like, you know, I don't understand. I mean, you've had other vaccinations in the past, like the measles and smallpox and that kind of thing. Why do you have a problem with this particular vaccine? And I think you brought up a good point. I mean, a lot of those vaccines were given to you as children, and obviously your parents are making that decision for you. They feel like it's the best for you.
Well, and also back then, in those days, there were a lot fewer vaccines. You know, mumps and rubella or whatever, measles and
And also, were there any therapeutics to treat smallpox, measles, that kind of thing?
I mean,
was there anything outside the vaccine that they
and
could
also,
go to?
One other thing about those vaccines were they had been around for, you know, decades.
So they would have a pretty good idea of any side effects and the people that probably shouldn't take it and that kind of thing.
Right.
Whereas this vaccine, I mean, none of that's happened. It's not been around long enough to study any of it.
The long-term effects of it are just unknown.
Well, and there are viable therapeutics available for COVID-19. It's just that no one's allowed to talk about them. The natural immunity.
The drug company Merck came out with the new pill this week, and curiously that's the same company that has ivermectin, and you know, they're instead of the cheap ivermectin that's I don't know how much it is, it's really cheap, pretty cheap, they're now promoting this new pill that they came out with. It's like $700 per treatment as opposed to the cheap ivermectin.
Merck touts expensive new COVID drug while dismissing cheap ivermectin, and this comes in pill form. The announcement Friday by Merck that it plans to apply for emergency approval. Of a new experimental oral antiviral treatment for COVID-19 is of particular interest to many physicians who have been hindered or completely blocked from treating their COVID-19 patients off-label with an FDA-approved drug that already is produced by the pharmaceutical giant.
So how's that going to affect the injections? You know, if there's now a approved, it's not approved yet, but if it gets approved and they have an approved treatment.
Well, it's going to be all in the language. Just like right now, they're already starting. You're not fully vaxxed until you've had the booster.
Yeah.
So now it's going to be, now you're not fully vaxxed until you've taken the pill.
But isn't that going to make the, you know, they're doing the injections based upon the emergency use for the most part still.
Well, but now
isn't that going to do away with the emergency need for a vaccine if you've got a pill?
Well, yeah. See, but now, you know, the injection was not effective during the Delta variant.
Yeah.
But now this new pill
is
that they're going to approve under emergency.
Is this supposed to be effective against the Delta variant?
It doesn't say anything about that in here.
Yeah, it's going to be curious to see how people are going to react when they start mandating the booster shots. Because it's going to happen. You're not going to be considered fully
vaccinated until you have a
injected
booster.
Until you have the booster. So how many
makes me wonder if that's, I mean, if that's for sure on the horizon, because, you know, for those of you that don't know, I work in the medical field. I'm a medical assistant. I work in neurosurgery, and I filed a religious exemption and they accepted it. But in the letter they sent me, it does have an expiration date. It does say this is good until August of 2022, which makes me wonder what's going to happen in August 2022. And that's what makes me wonder if they're anticipating the booster being mandated, and that's about the time period they're thinking it's going to happen. So they're giving themselves kind of an out.
It's going to be before that. Don't you think it's going to be, that's a year away there.
It's
going to be way before that.
I don't know.
Because,
I mean, it's already out there.
Dr. Fauci is saying that you're not going to be considered fully vaccinated until you've got the booster shot. So how could they not mandate it
before
then?
I am genuinely, genuinely flummoxed on why people even still listen to that man. Everything out of that man's mouth is contradictory. I'm not saying he doesn't know what he's talking about, but boy, he sure is stringing people along. He's making this stuff up as he goes along. Why people still listen to him is beyond my comprehension. So Merck is the producer of ivermectin, which has been shown to be effective in at least 65 controlled studies and 32 randomized controlled trials to fight COVID-19 as a preventative and early and late stage treatment. Studies have demonstrated its ability to inhibit the replication of SARS-CoV-2 as well as its strong anti-inflammatory properties.
I wonder if that's going to be okay for pregnant people to take.
Yeah, your link doesn't work on that, by the way.
There is no link. It's just that graphic. Yeah, the CDC came out this week and said pregnant people have a 70% chance of increased risk of death, or 70% increased risk of death if they get the virus. Pregnant people. And this is the scientific agency that we're supposed to be taking
pregnant
advice from.
Pregnant people with symptomatic COVID-19 have a 70% increased risk of death. So they're saying that if pregnant people get COVID, that there is a high likelihood they're going to die.
No, it's a 70%
increased risk of death.
Yeah, compared to, yeah.
Only 31%
of pregnant people have been vaccinated against COVID-19.
Which I'm purposely glossing over the pregnant people part because that's just absolutely stupid and ludicrous people. And politically correct. And I think it's dumb. I'm not going to participate in that.
Well, this is the agency that's supposed to be following the science. I wonder if they've had a biology class. Yeah, one of Karen's coworkers asked her if she had ever had a biology class before. That's...
Well, anyway... So I just don't understand. And again, you know, do what you need to do, do what you feel is best, but I'm genuinely concerned for pregnant people that consider getting the COVID vaccine, just because, my goodness, this isn't only about you. It's about your unborn child.
They're pushing pregnant people and children to get the vaccine. That's just insanity.
It really, truly is. Man, I don't know. This whole thing is just...
It's just, yeah. It's really just insanity.
Speaking of job, I found an article in the New York Post I thought was interesting. You know, now that a lot of people are out of work because they're mandating the vaccines and they're not going to do it, so they're quitting and they're looking for new jobs. This article says, "My job offer was rescinded over my vaccination status. Is that legal?" I don't know. That's a good question. "I was offered a job in writing outlining my position and pay. I accepted verbally and said that I would let my current employer know I'd be leaving. They then told me that they may implement a vaccine mandate. I replied via email that I'm not vaccinated and I have a medical exemption. They said, best of luck finding a position somewhere else. Luckily, I never quit my current job, but can they do that?" I don't know. What do you think? Do you think they can? Do they have a legal leg to stand on? First of all, shouldn't have answered that question.
Well, I mean, that's your private, personal, medical information. They cannot ask questions like that in an interview. I guess when you get there, they could, I don't know, that's a good question. How can they do what they're doing?
When I started my HR career, I never imagined that I'd have to become a vaccine expert too. I know, can you imagine HR right now? I think you have a strong case to stick it to your almost new employer if you wanted to.
Yeah.
Essentially,
you can't ask that question.
You were made a job offer, you accepted, and notified them that if they require all employees to be vaccinated, you have a medical condition that requires accommodation. Good point. They are obligated to consider whether or not an accommodation can be made without causing an undue burden on the business. If they didn't do that, you would have a case to make for discrimination. If they are guilty of discrimination, your damages would be greater had you resigned your current role. Ask them why they are rescinding the offer and, based on their response, say that you need an accommodation. Then you can decide whether or not you want to pursue a claim.
Yeah. Yeah, especially if it was religious... reason, you know,
which they do have to make reasonable accommodations for you if you have a medical or religious exemption.
Yeah.
And in my case, that reasonable accommodation would be you are not allowed to work around vulnerable patients, which I do not as of this point.
Yeah. And then also you have to be tested.
And then you would have to be weekly tested, which that conversation has not happened for me yet in my employer. I'm sure it's coming. But I did tell my manager that I was willing to do that, you know, if and when it comes down to that. What I'm hoping, what I'm counting on is since cases are dropping drastically, which is good news, guys, let's not lose sight of the fact that this is good news, okay? But cases are dropping, so I'm hoping that this kind of goes away. That it becomes old news and not as big of a deal. And they just, and it you know, the employer has to pay for these tests, by the way, which thank goodness.
Just wait for the cold and flu season to get here.
But with Dr. Fauci saying the dark, cold winter. Yes.
I mean, that's what, wasn't it Biden saying that last year? We're going to have the cold. Yeah, he did. It was Biden saying we're going to have a cold, dark winter.
So what does that mean exactly? Are we going to go back to lockdowns, mask mandates, all that crap? You think people are going to go for it again?
Some people are going right along with it. Most people, not. About 2/3 of the people are not going to go along with it.
I would love to hear the thoughts from a vaccinated person. Like, what must they be thinking right now? Because, you know, you get the vaccine, or they get the vaccine, with the sole intention of living their life and going about their life as usual.
Yeah,
and yet that's exactly what didn't happen.
A lot of people got it just because they wanted things to go back to normal, and it's not.
And the fact that they can still get COVID, they still have to wear a mask.
Yeah.
I mean, I wonder if they're angry. I mean, do you have would they have buyer's remorse from something like that? Like, you sold me a bunch of damaged goods.
Yeah.
You know, and I would just feel tricked and angry, I think, if I were in their shoes. I don't know. I wonder if people are thinking that, or they're just thinking, or if they're thinking at all. I don't know. It's just fascinating to me.
They may not be thinking. They're just going along with whatever Dr. Fauci
kind of
says, or whatever
going
CNN
along
says.
To get along, I guess.
Oh, the government said I should get another shot. Okay. The government said I should wear a mask. You know?
Yeah.
Okay. We're getting way up there on time.
Oh, okay. Let's see. Oh, something else is interesting too. Louisiana, that's where it was. Louisiana's largest hospital system will impose fees on employees if their spouse is unvaccinated. So I kind of wonder if that's going to happen to us.
That will definitely be coming. I mean, there are places that are doing that. Like one of the airlines is charging $100 per pay period.
Hmm. To compensate for potential insurance claims.
Yeah. Which really should be the other way around, because the vaccinated are the ones really that are spreading the disease around.
Yeah, but that's
according to some scientists.
Yeah, I don't know. I kind of have mixed feelings on that, because that's almost that's like a smoker. You know, if you smoke.
Yeah.
You're going to have your insurance premiums are going to be
they
higher.
They should have a whole list of things. Okay, do you smoke? Check. Do you are you overweight? Check.
Which they do whenever you have to sign up for insurance, right? Don't they ask you these questions?
Not on group health plans.
Oh, really?
They might. I think at yours, they do ask if you use tobacco or not. But they don't ask anything about, you know, your weight. They can't, because of... Under the ACA, they can't ask about pre-existing conditions. They don't ask if you've got cancer or if you've got cancer in your family or something like that. They can't ask that question. So what's the difference between that and...
Yes.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I mean...
Eventually, there will be court cases resolving all this.
I don't see how there cannot be court cases.
But it's going to take a while for courts to even take the cases.
Yeah, if they even take the cases to rule on. But yeah, and there's already quite a few lawsuits filed across the country about all of this crap that's going on.
There are tons and tons of lawsuits filed, but it's just a matter of the courts taking the cases, and it just takes time. Sometimes it takes a year and a half.
How do you think this would have played out if Trump had remained the president? Do you think we'd be in this boat right now?
Sometimes I sort of think, you know, if President Trump had just not paid attention to what Dr. Fauci was
I think he
saying,
got some bad advice, sure.
President Trump was definitely on to the WHO and, you know, the World Hoax Organization.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Because, you know, he would be in a tough situation, because if he had disputed something Dr. Fauci had said, then he would have just been...
He's not following the science.
Yeah, he would have been...
I mean, he couldn't win, honestly, either way. But there would definitely not be vaccine mandates.
For sure.
That would definitely not be a thing.
This crazy thing with the vaccine mandate for...
People at least would still be able to have their jobs.
Yeah, for Medicare and also for the OSHA thing. That would not have ever happened.
Right. And let's not forget that this vaccine mandate is not a law.
Yeah, it's still not... It still hasn't even been released by OSHA, so...
Right.
It's I don't think the thing with the Medicare has it?
I don't think so. Sure. I don't know, but I don't think so. But employers are just gearing up for that to happen, which I understand.
I think at this point, it's just like a bluff. They're just trying to bluff their way into getting people to get vaccinated, maybe. Don't you think?
I don't know. Yeah.
All right.
Do we talk about the natural immunity thing? Do we ever talk about that? Natural immunity after COVID could be legal defense against vaccine mandates.
I don't think we talked about that specifically, but that we talked about Rand Paul talking about the talking with the HHS secretary.
Say that fast five times.
HHS secretary. You know how and actually Rand Paul was quoting a study that was done in Israel with 2.5 million people showing that natural immunity is seven times more effective than being injected.
And it the longevity also is lasts longer than the vaccine does as well.
Right.
A growing body of scientific evidence on the effectiveness of natural immunity after a person gets the COVID-19 virus may become a legal defense to avoid mandated vaccines. According to a Yahoo Finance article Saturday, the natural immunity argument against the rising tide of mandated vaccinations could become a way to legally avoid losing jobs or being prevented from attending schools.
Why do you suppose they're fighting against this natural immunity thing?
I
have a conspiracy theory.
Okay, what's your conspiracy theory?
The PCR test, as we all know, and everybody knows, that it's flawed.
Uh-huh.
It's providing 97%, up to 97% false positives. So therefore, a good number of people that think they have had the virus really didn't have the virus. They just had a positive PCR test. So they really don't have the antibodies. Could that be why the governments are fighting the natural immunity argument?
Maybe.
I don't know. But then again, just go get an antibody test.
Well, you know? I guess that's another question I have too. Why aren't we making that readily available for people?
Well, it's out there. I mean, you can go down
there. You have to pay for it though. Yeah. I mean.
Yeah, I think it's like $100 or something.
Which would almost be worth it just to see if you had it or not. Just to be able to
say, I got natural immunity.
Right. So, yeah,
I mean, then you could have applied for a medical exemption and the religious exemption.
Yeah, that's true.
There's that guy that NBA player this week, he announced that he hadn't been vaccinated, and he was in a press conference. And man, I tell you, the press was just asking him questions like he was some kind of space alien or something.
Well, they asked him everything but basketball.
You know, it's like, what about a basketball question?
Yeah.
And I have to say, what was his name?
I don't know, Jacob but he Isaacson, handled Isaac that with like that. Grace.
He was so graceful and gentle and humble and explained it.
Mm-hmm.
He did a wonderful job of explaining why.
He really did.
Yeah.
He really did.
So anyway, makes me want to watch NBA basketball, just watching that guy.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay, let's do some fun questions. Let's do this or that questions.
Oh. Can't we use just use the questions from the box.
Nope. I love to torture him.
These are so hypothetical.
Well, I mean, this is, okay.
Okay.
All right, so it's not a would you rather. It's a this or that question. Nice car or nice home interior? What's more important to you?
Home interior.
I'm surprised you said that.
Because I really have never had that nice of a car.
Oh, whatever. Your car you drive now is very nice.
Well, I mean,
and you
it's
always
nice.
Get complimented
I
on
do
it.
Get complimented.
He drives a Genesis.
It's a Genesis
Which
coupe.
You can't even buy those anymore, can
no,
you?
No. They discontinued them in 2016, I think. But,
speaking of cars, people, hang on to your cars.
It's old. It's got over, you know, like 150,000 miles.
Yeah, but it looks good.
I don't think I've ever had a car with less than 100,000 miles. So,
I've never had a car that's had over 100,000 miles.
She always gets a new car every time.
I'm very spoiled.
Yeah. But I don't drive that much, so I am perfectly comfortable getting a car with 100,000 miles. Especially now, cars are cars are made a lot better than they used to be back in the older days.
But are they, though?
Yeah.
I mean, kind of, but sort of not. But then, but then if they break down, you can't do anything about it.
Yeah.
Because it's all computerized and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, back in the 70s, if you had a car that had 75,000 miles on it, it was just like a piece of junk.
Yeah, that's true.
Now, 100,000 is...
It's really not a big deal
anymore.
But,
okay, what about you?
Okay, and to backtrack on that, I am spoiled. I will say that, okay? But I also keep my cars for 10 years, too. So I don't, go out and buy a new car every year.
She babies her car. She won't even use the turn signal because she doesn't want to wear out the turn signal.
Stop. That's true, though. I can't argue with that. He's right. Definitely nice home interior because I could care less about nice cars as long as it's reliable and gets me from point A to point B.
Yeah.
I don't care. Yeah. And that's one reason why I like to buy new cars because I don't want to deal with the problems. I don't want to have to, take a chance of being broken down on the side of the road. And especially when their kids were younger, it was important to me to have a very reliable vehicle. Remember that one time I broke down, we went to a play date and they were kind of out in the boonies and you had to come out and kind of rescue us.
Yeah.
Well, was it the battery? I can't remember what the deal was on that. That was the Capri, wasn't it?
No, that was your Nissan Sentra.
Was it?
And it had something to do with the starter, I think.
Oh, well, anyway. What's worse, laundry or dishes?
I don't mind either one of those. Laundry, you just... Probably dishes.
Dishes, for sure. We'd be more.
But laundry, you just throw them in there and they just take care of themselves.
And you especially, you get very cranky when there are dirty dishes lined up in the kitchen. I mean, that's one of his pet peeves. Always had to make sure the kitchen was in good shape because
I don't like bugs in the kitchen.
Well, that's true. That's a fair point.
I don't want to get cockroaches.
Well, that's a fair point. Jogging or hiking?
I do not like jogging. I can't stand jogging. Hiking I like to do.
I love hiking. I like to go hiking. Yeah. I don't like jogging because it's so bad on your joints.
Yeah. Hiking, I like to take the camera out there and take pictures and stuff.
And there's you could take your time. You could stop. You could relax. You can drink something.
Yeah, we should make another trip to Colorado.
Oh, we are definitely going back to Colorado at some point soon. Don't know when, but it's going to be soon. And by the way, just an FYI, the next camping trip we take, we're going to vlog it. So we'll bring you guys along with us and you can come with us. Okay. Bath or shower?
Shower.
100% shower. I cannot stand baths. Can't stand them. Sitting in your own filth. Gross.
Yeah, I always took showers until I was about...
Have you ever taken a bath?
25. I always took baths until I was about 25. Yeah.
You did?
Uh-huh. Always. I'm not really sure why.
That shocks me because I do not see you as a bath guy.
Uh-huh.
That is weird.
I'm not sure we even had a shower when I was a kid. I don't think we had even had a shower in our bathroom.
Really?
Yeah.
You know,
so I just always took a bath.
I don't even know if we did either because we always had baths as kids. But
yeah,
that's weird. I don't know. Sneakers or sandals? I think that depends. It depends on the season.
Yeah,
because I can stand to wear sneakers when it's hot out.
When it's hot, I always wear sandals.
Yeah,
he
doesn't wear like open-toed sandals. He
not
wears
flip flops.
Yeah,
sandals like. They're almost like hiking sandals.
Yeah. 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 Glasses or contacts?
Well,
this is a good question for you because he used to wear contacts all the time.
Yeah.
And not so much anymore, right?
I would prefer contacts, actually.
Really?
Yeah. But they tend to make my eyes get bags under my eyes. I don't know if it's... I think I'm allergic to whatever's in the...
Well, maybe you might be. I don't know.
Plastic or something. But I was noticing getting bags under my eyes when I was wearing my contacts all the time. So I switched to glasses and my bags are still there, but I have smaller bags.
You don't have as much luggage.
Yeah, not as much,
as much baggage as before.
What about you?
Definitely glasses, just because I've never tried contacts because I'm too much of a chicken to touch my eyeball.
Oh man, you should try contacts.
I can't do it.
It's almost like you can't. It's like you're young again. You can see without having.
I can't. And plus I don't want to get too, this kind of goes back to the conversation we have periodically about, you know, stronger prescriptions and thicker lenses.
Yeah, the stronger your prescriptions are, the worse your eyes are going to get. How are they ever going
to
get better?
Exactly. So I really try not to wear my glasses unless I'm reading. I do have bifocals where, you know, I can see both far, and it's wonderful when I wear them, but I don't want to wear them very often because I just don't want to get used to them.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to like stretch my prescription out as long as possible before it gets to the point where I have no choice but to get a stronger prescription.
Yeah, I used to watch some of these YouTube guys where they're trying to improve their vision, and they would get their glasses from Zinni or wherever.
Which is awesome, by the way.
Yeah, it's a great place to get glasses. And they would just get like one level down from what their prescription was.
Oh, really? So kind of like...
To kind
of make your eyes work a little harder.
Yeah. And then
interesting.
I was following this one gal that she had gotten all the way down to almost like reading glasses. She had thick glasses to start out with.
Really?
I should look that
that up
and see how she's doing now. Because at one time she was doing something and she just completely gave up on that.
Hmm.
And that's something I used to do too. I used to try to do eye exercises.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I remember you always, you know, did the finger thing where you focus on your finger, then you focus past your finger, and that kind of gives your eyes some exercise. Yeah.
The thing about me is, like, I'm always, like, on the computer or reading, and it's like
Right. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
So
how are my eyes ever going to get better?
I don't know. That is interesting, though. I'd like to try it just to see what kind of, I mean, who knows? Maybe your eyes would get better.
Yeah, and eat things with vitamin A, like carrots and sweet potatoes and
things. That's good for me because I love carrots.
Also pineapple, which is supposed to make the floaters in your eye go away.
Oh, really?
So, apparently.
Oh, good, because I love pineapple.
Yeah.
I put that in my fruit smoothies. Hamburger or taco?
Taco.
Definitely taco. Couch or recliner?
recliner.
Probably a recliner.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just because it's more comfortable.
Yeah.
Online shopping or shopping in a store?
What do you say to that?
100% online. I cannot stand to go to the stores and shop.
That was one thing whenever I first met Karen. I think she's the first woman I ever met that did not like to shop.
I hate shopping. I hate shopping.
Yeah.
I have to. I mean, if I'm going, I have a list of things that I'm getting, and I'm going to get them and get out. I just can't stand to shop. I don't know if it's being around people. I think it's just being around people, to be honest. I don't know what. I don't know.
What else? Well, you think that we've been going to this other supermarket that's not very popular.
Oh, yeah.
It's almost like a church in there. It's so quiet. Did you see anybody else shopping for like the regular groceries? I didn't see one other person.
No, not really. It's not that I don't like it. It's just their prices are higher and they don't have as big of a selection.
Isn't it worth it to be able to not have to fight over, you know, people wearing their pajamas in Walmart?
Yeah. And I guess I can't really use the excuse of it being people that I dislike, because even going to this place and shopping, there's virtually no people and I still hate it. Yeah. I think it's just the time factor. It's just, I'd rather do something else with my time.
Prices aren't that much different. There's actually some things that are cheaper.
Yeah. I mean, it's fine. I don't know.
Okay. We're really getting up there.
Okay. One more. Would you rather receive email or letter? Do people even get letters anymore?
Yeah. No. But getting a letter or a card in the mail is kind of, it gets your attention for sure. Emails, I just kind of like scan through. It's like click.
Well, that's true.
It's gone.
It's like your email desensitized or something.
Yeah.
And then quickly, would you rather get a phone call or a text?
Text.
Oh, 100% text. Don't call me, guys. I hate talking on the phone so much. Much rather get a text. It really drives me insane when people will email you and then call you and say, hey, I emailed you.
Did you get my email?
Really? Yeah. Really?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, quick question. How was your week?
My week was great. How was your week?
It was busy. Busy. Went to an outlying clinic on Friday. Had a lot of fun with the team I went with. Went super smoothly. And my doctor was very happy and it made me feel very happy. So
That's good.
Yeah. So the week ended on a pretty good note. Anything going on with you? What about the truck?
The old truck saga. The old truck is, I've been advertising it. I had a couple of people call about it. Quite a few people call and text about it. And one person actually look at it. And then I was actually playing around with it. And I have a little code reader. And I noticed that one of the codes looks like something that would be pretty easy to fix. So I am trying to, I've got the part and I'm trying to fix that to see if that by chance, it's a $16 part. So if I am able to get it running better, I could sell it for a lot more.
Yeah.
So I'm, that's what I'm working on that.
Yeah.
But I took a, I took the advertisement off temporarily.
Yeah. Until you can yeah. figure this out.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I don't know. I just hate for you to waste all that time and money.
It's not that big a deal. The part was only $16. So yeah. I would be kicking myself if I didn't try to fix it with a $16 part. It is kind of hard to, it's one of those places which like impossible to get to unless you like, you know, are like a
contortionist.
Yeah. So,
anyway. Yeah, but I know you and you like problems and you're a big problem solver. And I'm just afraid that you're not going to let this go.
Yeah. I every time I look at that truck, it's like, wow, that is the coolest truck.
I mean, it is a very cool truck.
Yeah.
But it's just,
there's just some way
I got a lot of problems with it right now.
I'd like to keep it, but.
Yeah. Okay. I guess we're done. And just a reminder, we're not medical professionals. You know, we're not doctors. We always encourage you to speak to your own doctor. Everyone's different. Make your own choices. What you think is best for your life. These are just simply our opinions, our experiences.
This is just things that we're coming across when we're investigating these things.
We're just a regular Jim and Joe and Jane trying to figure out this crap that's going on right now. So we thank you so much for your attention. Thanks for clicking on the video. Don't forget to give us a like.
Yeah, thanks for watching and listening.
Yeah, and we'll talk to you guys next time.
Okay, bye.
Bye.